Hello, and welcome to the Cox Automotive Sales Day call. My name is Michelle, and I will be your operator for today's conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and during the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that today's conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Dara Hales. Ma'am, you may begin.
Good morning, and welcome to August. Thank you for joining this month's Cox Automotive Sales Day conference call. This is Dara Hales with the Cox Automotive Public Relations team. Today we're joined by Charlie Chesbrough, Senior Economist for Cox Automotive, and Michelle Krebs, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader, and they're going to give us an economic update and analysis based on July sales results, followed by a Q&A session. Now I'll turn the call over to Charlie.
All right, well, thank you, and good morning to everybody. Thank you for joining us. Well, we're still getting the results in, and we don't have all of the OEMs reporting just yet. But at this point, it's looking like the selling pace for July has made a significant decrease from the pace that we had in June. The sales pace at this point looks like it's coming in the mid-16 million range, and that's down from the rather robust pace that we had in June of 17.4 million. We were a little bit more optimistic than what's coming in. We did expect the market to slow a bit this month. We were coming in at a 17.1 SAR, but clearly it's going to be coming in below that when the final numbers are tallied. It's hard to really point to anything in the economy that would be contributing to the slowdown, but a slowdown it is, certainly from the pace that we've run over the last couple months. We had strong GDP numbers that came out earlier this month. We can see in the data that affordability still remains an issue, but has not gotten out of whack or anything significantly different from what we had in June. It seems to me that what we can see is really the contributing factors for this month are a decline in fleet activity by the manufacturers themselves. Inventory levels look to remain pretty in check. So there isn't a lot of need to get aggressive on fleet at this point. Retail sales still seem to remain fairly robust, so the demand out there seems fairly strong. So there must have been some kind of a pullback in fleet, although we don't have all of those numbers. But clearly, the other big issue that we're seeing that emerges this month is a huge reduction in the car segments. And car volumes are down quite a bit on a year-over-year basis, and certainly more than what we were initially expecting. And we think one of the things that might be going on is that car buyers are moving into the used vehicle market. One of the things that we saw in our recent data from our auction activity is that used car prices are above their normal July levels. And so we think that there's probably a number of folks that are looking for buying opportunities in the used car market, buying that same three-year-old version of that new car in the used market at a 30, 40, 50% discount, or getting that crossover vehicle, a three-year-old crossover vehicle, for essentially the same price they would pay for a new small car in the new market. And so that's chipping away at vehicle sales. So we missed it a little bit this month, but I will say on the plus side is our forecast for vehicle sales for the year are 16.8 million. And that's down from the pace that we've been running so far year to date, which is around a 17.1 million pace. We've been expecting the market to make a change. We've been expecting all year for the second half of this year to start to slow. And really that's because we expect the buying conditions to get worse over the course of the year. The interest rate increases, raising the monthly payments for buyers, and certainly the tariffs that the president implemented on steel and aluminum are raising costs of production for the manufacturers themselves. And it may be that the president's talk of tariffs has chased away a few buyers that might have been into the market otherwise. It's hard to know just yet when we start talking about the tariffs that the president's been proposing. But it does appear to be having some negative consequences for the new market. And on the used market, we might be seeing some early pull-ahead activity where many folks are getting in, many dealers are buying inventory to try and get ready for these tariffs if and when they go into effect, which probably wouldn't be till later this fall. So on the whole, though, you know, the mid-16s, it's at this point, it's just a one-off. But our expectation is we are going to see lower numbers through the course of this year as the market begins to moderate a bit, as affordability becomes a greater issue for those new vehicle buyers. And with that, I'll hand it off to Michelle for a little bit more detail.
Thank you, Charlie. And to build on what Charlie said, July demonstrated we have not hit rock bottom on car sales yet. We had thought the car segments would drop a couple percentage points this year, down to maybe 30%. It could go lower than that. They certainly dropped more than we anticipated this month. When even Honda and Toyota car sales dropped, Accord and Civic were down double digits. Toyota dropped nearly 20%, and if they can't sell cars in bigger numbers, no one can. And to Charlie's point, consumers clearly are favoring utility vehicles over cars. So what we think is exacerbating the decline in new car sales is the fact that there's this plethora of used cars and, more importantly, a richer mix of utility vehicles coming off lease and back on the market. And we do know that affordability is becoming more of an issue, so that used vehicles provide a value alternative to new vehicles, and there's the richer mix in terms of utilities. We're even seeing in our recent survey work that affordability is rising as an important factor with even luxury buyers. So, you know, to Charlie's point, you know, if you've got $20,000 to spend and you can buy a new compact car or you can buy a three-year-old compact sport utility, what are you going to choose? I think what reinforces that notion is that the public dealership groups reported their earnings in the last week or so. AutoNation, I think, was today, and very heavy reliance on the used car market for a lot of their growth. So company by company, obviously we don't get GM numbers, but considering where the other automakers came in, we are a little lower than they didn't do as well as we had thought in our forecast, we estimate. Ford, again, it was always an F-150 story, did well, and their inventories of that have been pretty low, so they can't sell a whole lot more. You know, as if their car sales weren't bad enough, I don't think Ford did itself any favors by announcing it was largely abandoning the traditional car sales market long before the cars actually go away, because if you look at Focus sales, they really nosedived, like by 46%, and Fusion was down nearly another 30%. Fiat Chrysler had a good month, as usual, thanks to Jeep, and I think the success of Jeep and Ram under Mike Manley's direction is clearly why the Fiat Chrysler board selected him as the CEO. He delivers results. The Compass had a great month. That's very appealing to younger, budget-minded buyers. Interestingly, the Grand Cherokee had a $9,200 incentive on it. Didn't really move the needle all that much. Everybody might notice Dodge Journey sales. They had an outsized incentive, as they have quite a number of months in the past, at $7,000 this month. Again, Toyota, Honda, good months for utilities, not so good for car sales. And Nissan, they have been super hard to predict because they seem to keep changing their strategy. It appears their sales are down more than we expected, probably because of a less of a fleet mix. Hard to say. They keep switching strategy. It makes it tough for us to estimate. In terms of incentives, I've had a lot of questions about, you know, how big were they. I don't know that they were bigger overall, and I would say that truck incentives were getting bigger, and that's not surprising because of the sell-down mode that FCA is in with the old Ram versus the new one, and GM and the discounting the Silverado and Sierra because they're bringing on the new ones. And even Ford, certain models of Ford F-150 had some pretty hefty incentives. I will say this month the most targeted incentive award goes to Ford. They have special pricing for consumers affected by the volcano in Hawaii. So can't get more targeted than that. And with that, let's open it to questions. I think, Dara, we have some written questions first.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. We're now going to start the Q&A session, and the operator will give instructions on how to ask a question. And while we're getting those in the queue, we had a couple come in on email, so we'll cover those first and then take additional questions.
So can the operator
just...
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. For the audio questions, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. And if you wish to be removed from the queue, you may press the pound sign or the hash key.
Okay, Sarah, what's our first written question?
Yeah, well, both of these have somewhat been covered in your commentary, but is there any additional information you wanted to share around tariffs and impacts on sales?
Yeah, at this point, the Trump tariffs, really the only impact that we would see on the market in terms of cost would be from the steel and aluminum tariffs that were passed or enacted a couple months ago. The cost of production is probably now starting to hit the market because we have to work through the inventory that was produced before those tariffs were put in place. That would only add an incremental amount to the price of the vehicle, but certainly not a positive for vehicle sales, but it's hard to point to steel and aluminum tariffs as causing the market to drop at this point. But clearly, all of the talk is scaring many investors. It's very concerning for folks. And so it's hard to draw a direct correlation between what the president's been talking about and a decrease in new vehicle sales. But as I did mention, we are starting to see some interesting activity in the used vehicle market, and we think there is some pull-ahead activity as dealers are trying to acquire inventory before these tariffs go into effect, because they will lift used vehicle prices, and so they might want to be getting ahead of that to get some bargains out there. When these do go into effect, if the president's tariffs do go into effect, it probably wouldn't happen until later this year. But clearly that would be a huge negative for the vehicle market. And between now and then, it may just be that some potential buyers are just getting a little bit scared and maybe being a little bit more conservative on their purchasing. But it would be hard to say that the tariffs themselves are impacting the market just yet.
I would add, too, that clearly the cost has been added by the aluminum and steel tariffs, it appears that the automakers, the estimate is like a couple hundred bucks per vehicle, and it looks like if you looked at the earnings last week, the automakers are absorbing that. Can't imagine that can last a long time. And I would say we are here in Traverse City, Michigan, at the Center for Automotive Research Conference, and all the talk is about trade and tariffs. So it's going to continue to be a hot topic.
So our next question is, what trends are you seeing in incentives, and how are incentives affecting dealer stock?
Well, but actually, inventories are in really good shape, and I think that's why we're not seeing incentives skyrocket. They're at very high levels, but they don't seem to be going a lot higher. The automakers have been very disciplined about inventories, and I would expect that will continue to be the case. And we're seeing what we have seen all along. They're much more targeted to specific vehicles, even trim levels, technology packages, regions of the country, so they aren't just being lathered on. We also are seeing more incentives aimed at leasing, because lease prices have gone up more than auto loans, and so we're seeing a lot of, especially on the luxury side, pull-ahead lease deals that go after the competition or are intended to try to keep people loyal to the brand.
Yeah, and the one thing I would just add to that is that rising interest rates definitely impact consumers and the affordability of these vehicles as their monthly payment goes up. But rising interest rates also impact the manufacturers, because providing subvened interest rates, the more that they have to buy down that interest rate to get the consumer to actually purchase the vehicle, the more cost that they have to incur. So as interest rates go up, these incentives are going to get more and more expensive for the manufacturers to provide.
And dealers, because they have to pay more in floor planning.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Thank you. Now the operator is going to open the lines for questions from the audience.
Thank you. And once again, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. We do have one question in the queue, and it comes from Nathan Bomey with USA Today.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, Nathan.
On the Ford call, they reminded us, I guess, that the focus Focus production has already stopped. I didn't realize that, although I probably should have. And so they're winding down, and I'm sure in whatever inventory they have left there. My question is, as they do that and do the others that are coming, should we expect that overall Ford volume will decline as a result? That, I mean, ultimately they cannot fully replace all the Focus, Fiesta, Taurus, Fusion buyers, that ultimately the overall volume will go down. What do you think?
Well, Ford's got a real challenge. Now, we don't know that the Fusion's going up. We don't know when that's going away. There's talk of it being reinvented to more of a mix of a utility car kind of vehicle. Yeah, a crossover kind of vehicle. But what we do see in our shopping consideration is Ford car buyers don't automatically, when they're shopping for other vehicles, they don't automatically go to Ford sport utility vehicles and crossovers. In fact, they like Ford Fusion owners tend to go look at Honda CR-V and Toyota RAV4 first. So Ford's got a big challenge in trying to convince those car owners to stay in the Ford family versus going out to their competitors for their crossovers. And maybe some of the new product will help, but they've got a marketing job to do.
And my other question is, you kind of, I like the way you put it with Toyota and Honda sort of saying that if they can't sell the passenger cars, maybe nobody can. But obviously, you know, we're still selling a fair amount of Civics and Accords, et cetera.
Sure.
But at some point, though, will they have to consider paring back their own lineups? Like thinking about, for example, all the old Scion vehicles, you know, I mean, at some point, will they have to pare back on small cars as well?
I would say they may, you know, they may pare back on production. We saw that with Accord. They trimmed back some production. I would not be surprised if that happens. I can't imagine them dropping any of those, you know, Corolla, Camry, Accord, Civic, but they may have to scale back some of the production on that.
Yeah, the only thing I would just add to that, too, is that, you know, right now the economy is hot. People want to buy as much vehicle as they can get. But we know a recession is coming. We just don't know when. And at that point, affordability is going to become a much greater issue for consumers. So being out, they're going to be, cars are going to become relatively more attractive as folks are looking for transportation options because they're priced much lower than their crossover counterparts. Ford may be getting out of some of these car segments a little too soon if we see this recession happen sometime over the next 12 or 24 months. And the Japanese may be well positioned to take advantage of that for some of the younger buyers that are looking for some affordable options.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We do have one more question in the queue, and it comes from Tyrell Linkhorn with Toledo Blade. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys.
Well,
One thing on cars, there was some reporting out, I think yesterday or maybe today, some Trump administration stuff on some more justification for freezing the Obama era fuel standards. I think we expect those to be revamped, rolled back some in some way. Does that exacerbate the problem for cars? I know, you know, if we compare crossovers to cars, we see that there's not a big gap in actual fuel economy, but I do think that in consumers' minds there still is somewhat of a gap, and I guess I wonder, is that potentially furthering this shift or accelerating it as we head deeper into the year?
Well, I would just say, you know, I think it's just I don't know that will have so much of an effect. I think it's just a matter of consumer preference mostly.
Yeah, I think clearly there's less of a trade-off now between the truck platform and the car platform because of the fuel economy gains that we've made for many of these crossovers. I think for the industry itself, the real danger is that without fuel economy standards and with American consumers wanting big vehicles, the rest of the world's going another direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of paint our American manufacturers into a corner where the U.S. is going to become a regional market. Well, we're buying substantially different types of vehicles than the rest of the world is. And that's going to be a very difficult environment to operate in, where you want to be able to make one vehicle that you can sell around the world. And if you can't do that, you're going to be at a significant cost disadvantage. And, you know, ideally you want to be able to design a vehicle in Detroit that can sell in Frankfurt, sell in Beijing. But if we're not making the types of fuel economy vehicles that the rest of the world demands because of their higher gas prices or whatever government policies may be in place, we're going to be left as a regional market, and that's going to make our auto companies suffer.
I think someone said it yesterday that we'll become an island.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a Jeep question. So.
I knew you'd ask a Jeep.
I mean, I've got to. There's nobody else in the queue.
I figured.
Well, I wanted to throw you guys off a little bit.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, just you know, this clearly is the FCA is sort of bucking the trend because of the strength of Jeep and how. How long can that continue? And I guess does their decision to sort of pull back from cars long before anyone else really did looking pretty good right now?
It looks genius right now, but they've got some other challenges to face. They have got in particular of the Detroit 3, they've got a big challenge in terms of tariffs because so much of their product comes from Mexico, from Europe, Canada. That is going to be their next immediate challenge, I think. And that includes Jeep. Look at Compass.
Mm-hmm. And Renegade.
And again, just to come back to this affordability issue again, as I was mentioning before, that times are good. Well, when times are not good, does Jeep have a product for someone who's looking for a value transportation option out there? And, their portfolio is getting pretty pricey for most vehicle buyers.
All right, cool. That'll do me.
Thanks for not disappointing us on the Jeep.
We have no further questions in the queue, so I'll turn it back over to the team for any final remarks.
Okay, thank you for your participation today. Please keep an eye out for details on next month's call, and if you have anything that you need from Cox Automotive or any of its brands in the meantime, please contact a member of the public relations team. We're definitely here to help you, and we thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference.
Now at www.choiceprivileges.com.